Welcome to another In Wheel Time podcast, a 30-minute mini version of the In Wheel Time car show that airs live every Saturday morning, 8 to 11 a.m. Central.
Live from the Sugar Shack in Sugar Land, Texas, it's the In Wheel Time car talk show. Coming up, we talk the spring edition of the Texas Mile Speed Event. Conrad will have the In Wheel Time Car Clinic, and I'll bring you this week's auto news. Howdy, along with Mike out of this world, Mars, King Conrad DeLong. We always need more Jeff Zekin. I'm Don Armstrong. Glad you could join us on this Saturday, and thank you very much for doing such a thing. Now, Mr. Mars has a special guest on the line, and he's going to introduce her.
Shannon.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Good morning.
Well, wait a minute. Doesn't Shannon have a last name? Wait just a minute. Hold on, Shannon.
Stop right there.
Yeah, we want to get Mars to pronounce your last name.
Yeah. Don't spoil it, Shannon. Let Mars pronounce your last name because
I'm going with Mathis.
I got the over and under on this. What's it?
You're going to go what?
With Mathis.
Mathis?
Mathis.
Mathis.
Mathis?
They're giving me a hard time here.
So what is it, Shannon?
It's been this way since 6 o'clock this morning.
What is your last name, Shannon?
We pronounce it Mottis.
Mottis.
That was close.
Yes.
No, you weren't.
You got the M right.
Even if you had it right, we would say you didn't.
Yeah, exactly.
Because Mars
endlessly.
That's
the reason I'm at the end of the table down here. It all flows down.
It does. Then it falls off.
It does. Well, Shannon, as you can tell, we're not serious about anything here.
Let's hope you are.
And we hope that you are at the Texas Mile coming up in a couple of weeks in Belleville. So, Shannon.
Actually, it's Beeville. Beeville, Texas.
Oh, Beeville.
Oh, my.
Did I type Belleville?
No, it's Beeville.
Well, hold on just a moment. Let me see what.
You type Sacramento.
Sacramento. did he do? I don't know. I have to find the sheet. Give me just a second.
That's okay.
At Chase Field in Beeville.
There you go.
Yes, at Chase Field in Beeville, Texas.
Okay. Chase Field in Beeville.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Okay.
It's going to be Friday, March 24th through Sunday, March 26th.
Field Beeville.
And it's a standing start mile run.
All right.
Top speed.
And so how is it, is the actual runway at the airport there, is it 1 mile in length?
No.
It is about 9,000 feet, so a little bit over a mile and a half. So you have a mile to achieve top speed and about a half a mile to shut down.
Okay. And you don't get a running start at the beginning of it. You have to start at a dead stop?
Yes, it is a standing start. But for anybody that has competed in either half mile, Texas mile, or the Texas mile, you roll into it. It's not like a drag race where you're trying for time off the line. You roll into it, ease up into it, start getting the gears to get your top speed. Either we do both a half mile and the mile in the same event.
Shannon, how in the world did you get involved in this?
My husband. That's how I got involved in this. His love and passion has been in racing. And in 2003, when the street laws came out in the state of Texas, and we were putting on, we were the original directors for the state of Texas, Oklahoma, and Louisiana for NASA, the National Autosport Association.
Yep, uh-huh.
And he decided that we needed to add an event that could attract the people that were trying to do these tollway, top speed type of situations, that we wanted to get off the streets and into a safe, fun, and well-organized environment. And that is literally how we started it. And it just started with a few friends. Our first event was 35 participants and 10 staff members.
Wow.
How much you got now?
We've grown to around, we've had events where we've had about 200, 250,
wow.
Yeah. And several thousand fans.
Well, her husband got her involved in it, but it sounds like she's taken over the project.
You have.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like.
No, actually, I'm the people end of the event. He is definitely, without a doubt, from making sure, I run the cold side. And he runs the hot side.
So have you ever made a run? Have you made a run down the track?
I made a run down one time. This was several years ago, and we were at Ellington for a half mile event. And it was in our Cadillac CTSV.
Well, there you go.
Fun car to take down the track.
So, yeah. So my top speed's 135, which is not in comparison to the rest of the participants. But that was enough for me.
Well, what is the top speed that you have recorded since you've been doing this event in the 1 mile?
It is 300 miles an hour.
You've been 300 miles an hour?
No, that's the top speed.
No, not me.
The fastest at the event.
Once again, you weren't paying attention.
You're right. I'm trying to.
Never mind.
And if I remember, that isn't that Mark IV Motorsports? And they're,
it's M2K.
M2K.
And, M2K.
They're Ford GT.
And they're Ford GT.
Right. Wow.
Correct.
Do you have folks showing up with EVs?
We do have a few folks that will show up with EVs. They're not as popular.
Is that a separate class?
At the event. Yes, we do a separate class for EVs.
Okay, so
do you have a limit on the speed that they can go?
The limit is based on their tech speed, so what the safety equipment they have in their vehicle, as well as their licensing speed. So that is
so the EV is just like the gas. It's just if they're equipped to go a certain speed, they can go it.
Yeah, depends on how well caged the vehicle is.
Well, we also how well caged, but also we have to check the nut behind the wheel.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I gotta tighten that thing up.
That is piloting the vehicle. So that's a very important aspect of it as well.
Okay, so I have a bone stock 2001 Corvette with an LS1 motor in it. That's the stock. Everything's stock, okay?
Okay.
And I wanted to give it a shot at the Texas Mile. What do I got to do?
You can go on our website, and we have registration information on there. It's texasmile.com.
Okay.
And we have our registration information on there, and you can register for the event. You can either register for Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or you can register for just for Saturday, Sunday. So that's the first step, is to register for the event. We also have online the technical compliance rules, and you can take a look at those. And then when you get to the event, you have a technical compliance sheet that you fill out, and you'll check in with us. You'll do your technical compliance, and then you'll meet with our race director in reference to your licensing. So if you have experience and have proven experience, then you're allowed to go up to certain speeds. But for that particular vehicle, you're not allowed to go over 199.9.
What about motorcycles? You let the two-wheeler guys get in there, guys and gals?
Oh, yes. So in this last event that we had in October, Shane Stubbs, in his 2007 Suzuki Hayabusa 1300, it's a black, beautiful motorcycle. He went 253.7.
Oh, no, hell no.
Yeah, not me.
Well, first of all, I don't think that my 2001 Corvette would do over 200 miles an hour. No.
I would venture that'd be in the 140-ish.
Bring it by. We can turn it up. Yeah.
No, but I want to go back to that. Thank you for interrupting. But I want to go back to that. So I don't know anything about anything that you've got going on there. I'm not licensed. I'm not registered. I'm not anything. Okay, so when I get to the track, I've registered. I go there, and I want to run my 2001 Corvette down the track, the 1 mile track, and see what it'll do. So I don't know what it'll do. I assume that it'll probably do what Conrad says, maybe 140, 150, but I don't know that. I've never been that fast in a car. I've been 130. That's as fast as I've ever gone. So
okay.
So how would you treat me? With kindness and gentleness, I hope.
Oh, boy.
Yes, but you would
laughing hysterically.
Go ahead.
The majority of our participants, if you look at our last event and you look at the runs of all of our participants, we had 162 different vehicles in the event, or different participants in the event.
Yeah.
And of those, only 26 went over 200.
Well, I'm not going to do over 200. I would get scared. I would get scared before I got to 200.
But the vast majority of our participants are just like you. They maybe have never done this before, but they want to be able to experience the machinery which they have purchased and be able to enjoy it.
All right.
So we do have a licensing program. You will meet with our race director. You will go through a driver's meeting. You will have to do some passes that are slower. So maybe the speed that you've already achieved, you know, at 130, before you can ratchet it up to any top speed. You've got to be able to prove that you can achieve some of the slower speeds. When I say slower, to me, that's not slow. That's very fast. But you have to prove that you can achieve that speed.
Safely.
And safely, correct. So we have technical inspectors that you'll be working with. You have a race director that you'll be working with. We have a whole staff. We have 70 people that work our events over that weekend. So we will walk you through the process. I like for our participants to get there. If they're participating on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we like for them to get up there on Thursday, get settled in. And we do a slow drive through the course as well. So that before
Wait a
you
minute.
Go down there at a top
the course, speed. The course is one straight landing strip is what the course is.
Yes.
Okay. So
y'all know in real time, right? As far as any course is different.
That's true.
Have their different characteristics.
Right.
Where you can turn off, there's different characteristics. So we want you to be familiar with that piece of stretch of road.
Do I have to bring a helmet?
Yes, you do. There are safety gear requirements, helmet, gloves, long sleeve shirts, pants, closed-toed shoes.
Okay, so I don't have to wear a fire suit or anything like that?
Not at those speeds.
Okay.
So Don shows up in his Corvette. He's all dressed in black, long sleeve, like he normally is on a Saturday night, and he puts on his black helmet. And so you take him through the walkthrough, and you tell him, okay, you got to make a pass at 90 miles an hour, and then do the 130, because he's done that before. So then he gets out there on race day, and he... His class, I think you said he can't go over 190?
He can't go over 190, correct.
Okay. What prevents him from doing that? What prevents him from just going all out and his car happened to do 198?
Well, he can't go over 199.9.
Okay. Well, so he goes 205.
Yeah. So if he goes, if he goes 205, that would be a miracle in that particular vehicle. But
Okay. In that vehicle.
Somebody dropped it out of a plane.
Well, go ahead.
We have a complete timing system, so it doesn't prevent, right? It's just like with any rules and regulations that we have in the world. It doesn't prevent people from doing things that they should not be doing.
Yeah. Okay. Because he may not know that he can do that in that car. I mean, you know, obviously if that's his first time doing something like that.
You know, this is what I find. The most people that build vehicles up to certain speeds know what their vehicles are able to do. Mm-hmm. We also have the technical experience on our teams that they know based on your motor builds, your suspension builds, based on your transmission, all those different factors, what you could possibly achieve. So if you have a car that is beyond your experience, we will know that, and we will be talking to you in advance in regards to what you need to do to make sure that you're keeping it, that you're not blowing out your speed. So that is one of the things that we do on the front end of the events, is to be able to do that and talk with you in regards to that. But if you do, we monitor all the speeds. So you will not get your speed slip in that particular case. And you will have a discussion with our race director as far as next steps are concerned.
Yeah, like you're under arrest, get out of here, you know, things like that.
No, actually, a lot of it has to do with your attitude as the driver. So if it was a pure accident and we discuss it and we talk about it, then you have another chance.
Yeah, like he could bump 199, but it accidentally went to 200. Okay, you're going to take a...
But
you're have to talk to somebody.
As you mentioned before, this can be a bit of a run what you brung program. I was looking at
It is exactly a run what you brung program. That is the heart and soul of the event. It is run what you brung. We do have, you know, different types of classes, but they're not, they're more in regards to, you know, if you have, you know, manual or automatic transmission.
Right.
Those different types of parameters versus
what kind of power adders you have. Yeah.
Yes. What kind of power adders you have. We want to keep this very simple, run what you brung, come out, give an opportunity for, we pay a lot of money for these vehicles that we have.
And absolutely, we do.
It gives you a place to go out and enjoy that. I had a participant, he was from Michigan. It was one of those states that's, you know, up way up, you know, on the near the Canadian border. And he said that he traveled 1,600 miles just so he could see how fast he could go in a mile.
Yeah, there
that's
you
the
go.
Typical heart yeah, yeah, yeah. of our participants.
Yeah. All right, well, I just Googled it here and looked up online, and it says that it, generally speaking, should do about 170 top speed. It's not limited to a mile,
yeah.
but 170, and I don't want to go that fast, but it would take, I think, longer than a mile to get it at 170.
Well, your Arkansas event, you had the fastest RV that went almost 109 miles an hour in an RV. Nice.
Yes.
While tailgating.
So again, it's run what you brung. If you pay the fee, you can, and you pass technical inspection, you can get on the track and see what you can do.
Well, I think it was pretty exactly. good. You mentioned earlier the CTSV. You know, to me, that would be the kind of a car that you would want to say, okay, well, this thing really do 130, and where else are you going to go try it safely?
Exactly. You know? Exactly. I mean, we have every make, model of vehicle that comes to the event.
Cool. And some people that buy that new high horsepower vehicle, and they like, well, I can't do this on the street, so let me go to the Texas Mile and see what I can do.
Right.
I remember when
yes.
I was at that half mile event, you know, I swore this guy was driving a Porsche 911 Turbo S, and it still had paper tags on it. And I bet you he did 20 rounds between the 2 days I was there. Just kept
yes.
doing laps and laps and laps, so with a paper tag on it.
There you go. Like,
you know,
that's a heck of a test drive.
The time that I went 130, I had a 1977 Corvette that didn't have a whole lot of horsepower, and it also didn't have a rear spoiler. And I know in that particular car, it got real light in the rear end when you got up there at 130 miles an hour. The back
so.
End would float
drift
around.
Drift on you, yeah.
Yeah, and I would like to think that my C5 would be a little bit more aerodynamic than the C3.
Well, I know one of the things I learned at the half mile event was, you know, traction's still an issue, even if you're going a mile.
Straight.
You still got to get the tires to move you forward, and depending on what kind of power adders you have, you know,
I am thrilled that you have mentioned that, because there is a mindset that some people have is that it's all about the horsepower. But if you cannot get that horsepower
to the ground
mm. through your suspension, which includes your tires, and that it's moving forward in a straight line continuously, then how much horsepower you have does not matter
right?
We do talk to our participants in reference to, you know, what do you have your spring set at? Those types of things. Because there's all sorts of different, it's not like you're traveling on glass.
Right.
There is different components to every facility. It's asphalt to concrete, right? So there's different types of surfaces even within the airstrip itself.
And you have to deal with expansion joints as you go down the track as well, because even the airstrip's going to have some expansion joints.
Yeah, ambient temperature.
So how does that upset the vehicle as you go over some of that stuff?
Do you still have room? Do you still have room for people to sign up?
Yes, we do.
You do? Okay. I'm surprised.
Yes, you do. And you can sign up online, or you can come and sign up at the event.
And TexasMile.com.
Yeah, I've posted a link on
TexasMile.com.
Well, this has been absolutely fascinating. Mm-hmm. I never even dreamed about doing something, participating in something like this. But you say there are a lot of people just like me that have, for instance, a 2001 stock Corvette with a 6-speed manual transmission that can get out there and do this.
Well, we have a previous guest that's coming down to run it. The young lady from, was it Wisconsin?
Ohio.
Naperville. Ohio.
Yeah. So we interviewed a young lady, high school student.
Yes.
And I guess you're familiar with her, and she's coming down with
bringing their S10 down to run.
Yeah. So
exactly. It's a project that they are doing. They're looking so forward to this event. We're very excited to be able to provide a venue.
Yeah, we had interviewed them, and they were so nervous. And I was like, I know a few people who have done these, and some of the people at the event, and they'll be more than happy to coach you along the way. They want to see you successful, so you probably get a lot of FaceTime and help from not just the event coordinators, but also other participants.
Oh, that is the nature of the event. Is every participant, when they're coming out, it is not just about what they're able to achieve, but it's about the whole experience of the event and sharing that with the fellow people around them. Right. And so she and her team will get plenty of assistance from our other participants that are there. I'm sure of that.
In addition
to that, we also do have spectators. So you can come to the event and come and watch and bring out your family.
Got a mile-long grandstand.
There you go.
Yes, exactly, exactly. Well, we don't have any grandstands, but we do have safe spectator areas.
Well, Shannon, you have been an absolute delight to talk to. Great information, and you never know who might just show up out there.
Yeah.
You're just saying.
Oh, Don's taking another day off.
Yeah, another day off. Yeah. But Shannon, thank you again. TexasMile.com. We'll see you in Beeville in a couple of weeks.
That sounds great. Thank you all very much.
Thank you. How fun was that?
That was nice.
That would be fun to do.
And they've been doing this for a while.
I know.
They do an October and a spring event, and very well known in the speed industry for drawing some of the best cars around.
And by the way, Mars, you did say here, Beeville.
Did I?
I was the one that
you said Belleville.
Belleville. Well, there's only a little change, very slight in
L.
Different. Yeah, mm-hmm. Thank you.
And about 40 miles.
And about 40, that's it. All right, time now on the In Wheel Time Car Talk Show for Conrad's Car Clinic. And I have allowed you 5 minutes for this particular segment.
And this is a life experience car clinic. You know, for years, people have relied on tread depth to determine whether, you know, what their tire life is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the tread passes the penny test. They assume that the tire still has life, mm-hmm. regardless of how old it is. Now, I know Jeff has talked many times on the show about the age of your tire.
Right.
And I knew the tires on the Rally were over 10 years old. And Jeff and I had talked about this earlier. And he said, you need to get new tires for it. So last weekend, I took the Rally out to, I got it fixed, and everybody knew I was struggling with getting it fixed, and took it out to Hemi Hideout, knowing that I was exposing myself to
a
potential problem with 10-year-old, actually, they were 11-year-old tires. So going out to Hemi Hideout, no problem. Coming back from Hemi Hideout, got a little vibration a couple of times coming back, and, you know, and I'm at highway speed, 65, 70 miles an hour. So as it started to vibrate, I'd kind of slow down where it wouldn't vibrate.
Right.
Got all the way home, and then it was time to change the oil in the car, so I drove the car, got the oil changed, and coming back after the oil change, I'm doing about 30 miles an hour on Jones Road, and the vibration came in.
Let go.
And came in real hot, and I'm slowing down and slowing down, and then all of a sudden I hear, psh!
Yeah.
And all the air was out of the tire, and I'm sitting there with a flat front tire.
It had a belt separation, probably.
So, yeah, right down the middle of the tire, the belt separated from it. So I thought this would be a good conversation about, you know, pay attention to the age of your tire. You know, when you go into a place to get your car inspected, you get your, you know, the multi-vehicle multi-point inspection most shops do. Ask them to check the age on the tire. There is basically a born-on date
correct
that is molded into the tire, mm-hmm. so they can see, I believe it's the year
it's
and the week of
the week
year.
The year.
That they can identify when the tire was built.
So if it's 0520, that vehicle or that tire was built in the fifth week of 2020.
Mm-hmm. And mine were
1842.
So, you know, that incident illustrated the potential danger of buying used tires as well and the perils of driving on aging tires, including those that have never spent a day on the road. Because what I put on was a spare tire that had the same date as the fourth,
right.
the and, other four tires and, on the vehicle.
And you said two key things there. When they do an inspection of the vehicle, have them check the tires because there's generally a spare. Pickup trucks have it up underneath the bed of the truck. Check that because a lot of times that doesn't have air in it because it all evacuates out.
And if you're driving an older vehicle like my Yukon's a 2004. I know it's got relatively new tires on it, but I'll bet you money that is the original spare.
Yeah.
So that spare is close to 20 years old.
And the other thing you stated was the wear bar. It's mm-hmm. at 3:30 seconds. Now, in the state of Texas, if your tread's down to that wear bar, it will not pass inspection because that's an indicator to either the inspector or to you as the owner to see where that tire's at. There are tires that are made that have wear indicators for alignment in them.
Okay.
Yeah. So if it's out of alignment, the tread blocks will wear a little differently.
So the question comes, what's going on? What do I have to worry about? Well, if you think about the tire and kind of compare it to a rubber band. Mm-hmm. You ever pulled a rubber band out of the drawer and it's kind of dry and crumbly, and when you go to stretch it and it cracks immediately? Yeah. That's exactly what's going on
with
your tire.
It's a good analysis, yeah.
Because your tire is expanding and contracting as you're driving down the road. And as you're stopping and accelerating, all of that change of shape of the tire.
Did you have little like spider cracks on the outside of the tread or the outside of the sidewall?
No, not at all.
Because UV light, well, the rays of the sun will actually damage the tire as well. It'll suck the oils and product out of the rubber as well.
So again, get your tires checked. And if you're driving an older vehicle, get your spare tire checked because putting a spare on that's 20 years old, it may get you off the highway, but it isn't going to do you any good.
Maybe.
And one of the neat things about this is, you know, here I am in my 1970 Oldsmobile kind of pulled over in a church parking lot.
Dressed like Superfly.
With a flat front tire. And I called AAA to have them dispatch, and they said it was going to be like an hour and a half. And then all of a sudden, this young man in a pickup truck pulls in behind me and goes, "Hey, I'm a mobile mechanic. You want me to put your spare tire on for you?" I'm like, "Oh, absolutely, sure." So he jumps out. He gets a nice floor jack out, jacks a car up, gets his electric impact
bada-bing,
out,
bada-boom.
Zing, 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 zing. He's got the tire on, the blown tire in the trunk.
You sent me a text that said that you had the tire changed in 15 minutes.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I called BS that you changed the tire in 15
minutes.
No,
I didn't change the tire, but the mobile mechanic did.
There you go.
So when Don was talking about the mobile mechanic thing, it kind of tied all of this together.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I was quite impressed.
Very cool.
And I asked the guy how much he wanted, and he said, "No, nothing." I'm like, you know, I had some cash in the pocket, so I shared that with him.
Look at his card mentioned on the air,
I was very grateful
cool.
for the service. So get your tires checked for age, not just wear.
Quick break now. You're on the N-Wheel Time Car Talk Show. Tailpipes and Tacos, Houston's premier car cruise and return, Saturday, April 15th to the Loopy Tortilla Tex-Mex in Katy, 8 to 11 a.m. Bring your Hot Rod, Classic, Restomod, or any other vehicle you'd like to show and compete for one of three highly coveted Chili Pepper trophies. This April 15th kickoff event is one you'll want to put on your calendar because 100% of the money you donate for the free tacos will be given to God's Garage. You heard right, free tacos. Whatever you decide to give, all of it will be given to God's Garage and matched by Loopy Tortilla. God's Garage gifts vehicles to single mothers, widows, and wives of deployed military in the greater Houston area. In fact, the garage will gift a vehicle to a mom in need at this special event. Be sure to attend the next Tailpipes and Tacos Cruise Inn, Saturday, April 15th, 8 to 11 a.m. at the Loopy Tortilla Tex-Mex in Katy on the Grand Parkway at Kingsland Boulevard, just south of I-10. Free breakfast tacos for any donation to God's Garage. It'll make your heart and your belly feel good. You own a car you love. Why not let Gulf Coast Auto Shield protect it?
Houstonian John Gray invites you to his state-of-the-art facility to introduce you to his specialist team of auto enthusiasts. We promise you'll be impressed. Whether you're looking to massage your original paint to a like-new appearance, apply a ceramic coating, install a paint protection film, nano-ceramic window tint, or new windshield protection called ExoShield, Gulf Coast Auto Shield is where Houston's car people go. Curbed your wheels? Instead of buying new, why not have them repaired? How about a professionally installed radar detector? Gulf Coast Auto Shield does that too. Get a peek inside the shop and look at the services offered by getting online and heading to gcautoshield.com. Better yet, stop by their facility at 11275 South Sam Houston Tollway, just south of the Southwest Freeway, and get a personal tour. Gulf Coast Auto Shield is your place to go for all things exterior. Call them today, 832-930-5655 or gcautoshield.com. That's it for this podcast episode of the In Wheel Time Car Show. I'm Don Armstrong, inviting you to join us for our live show every Saturday morning, 8 to 11 a.m. Central on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and our InWheelTime.com website. Podcasts are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeart Podcast, Podcast Addict, TuneIn, Pandora, and Amazon Music. Keep listening, and we'll see you soon.